ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We continue reading from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 26. King Puranjana goes to the forest to hunt. And today's verse we're reading on the text 21. Puranjana ubacha Nunam tu akrita punyaste Britya yesu isvara sube Kritaga su atmasat kritva Siksa dandam nayunjate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. King Puranjana said, "My dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man, but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate." Everybody please repeat. King Puranjana said, "My dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man, but does not punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate." Purport. According to Vedic civilization, domestic animals and servants are treated exactly like one's own children. Animals and children are sometimes punished, not out of vengeance, but out of love. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servant, not out of vengeance, but out of love, to correct him and bring him to the right point. Thus, King Puranjana took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. He considered himself the most obedient servant of the queen. She was angry at him for his sinful activities, namely hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Puranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife. In the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he takes it as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tatenu kampang su samikshamano bunjana ibat makritang bipakam ridbag bapurbir bidadhang namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabak. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, text 8. This verse states that the devotee accepts a reversal of his position in life as a benediction by the Lord, and consequently offers the Lord more obediences and prayers, thinking that the punishment is due to his past misdeeds, and that the Lord is punishing him very mildly. The punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. In the Manu Samhita, it is said that the king should be considered merciful when he condemns a murderer to death, because a murderer punished in this life becomes freed from his sinful activity, and in the next life takes birth cleared of all sins. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, he becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. Puranjana ubacha nunam tu akrita punyaste britya yesu isvara shube kitaga shu atmasat kritba shiksha dandanam na yunjate. Srila Prabhupada once told this story, how he was chastised by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. While Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is giving a class, is giving a lecture, Srila Prabhupada was there, he was present, and there was a gentleman behind him who wanted to say something to Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to say something. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he noticed this, that these two personalities, they're being inattentive in his lecture. He stopped his class, and immediately he rebuked the gentleman, says, "Do you think you can pay so much rupees to me because you're giving donations every day? You're not going to listen?" He was very heavy. And then he pointed to Srila Prabhupada. "Do you want to give the lecture here?" Prabhupada wrote a letter. That was 1974. He said, "It is my duty to correct my disciples." It is my duty to correct them, otherwise how can they make progress in their spiritual life? As Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, that the master sometimes punishes the servant, his servant, not out of vengeance, or like out of vengeance means like revenge or being envious, out of false ego, but he's being chastised. Actually, the word chastisement means trying to correct somebody. Trying to punish somebody, but with bodily action. But sometimes words are more painful than action. Our hearts are considered like different kinds of pots. Some are made of gold, made of metal. And some of our hearts, Sisigornitai, Krishna Balaram Radhe, Sham Lalita, Visakha Devi Ki Jai. And some of our hearts are made of clay pot. So, if it's made of metal, it cannot be easily broken. It's very strong. But if our hearts are made of pots, then you just, you know, touch a little bit and it may crack. And once it is cracked, sometimes it's very difficult to put Febicol or some kind of adhesive on it. Temporarily it may be like pasted up or patched up. But then after some time, the crack will become bigger and bigger, and it'll be very difficult to mend it. It'll be very difficult to put it back to its original status. So the spiritual master is there for us to guide, so that our material attachments will be cut, and thereby we'll be able to perform devotional service properly. But nevertheless, it says also that actually we should be always thinking like we are fools in front of our spiritual master. Not that we should act foolishly. That is a different thing. But we should act with intelligence. A menial servant means you're performing a very responsible duty with less prestige. A menial servant means, it's like Prabhupada says in one lecture, that if the spiritual master forgets to call the disciple for prasad, then the disciple must fast all day. But the guru never neglects the disciple. He's always there. It is says that the spiritual master is equal to everyone, even to those who are envious, even those non-envious. He's equal to all of his disciples. It's like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he's equal to all of his disciples, but he treats them differently. Unique. It's like Krishna, he's equal to everyone. No one is his friend, no one is his enemy. Isvara sarvabhutanam hridyasya arjuna tisati, because he's equal to everyone, since he's the Paramatma, he's in everyone's heart. But he treats everyone differently, uniquely. So the same with the spiritual master. Some of his disciples he will chastise so heavily. Some of his disciples, like he changes his servants every once in a while so that they don't become familiar. Familiarity breeds contempt. It's like every 6 months he will have a different servant. There is this one secretary of his. And he just wanted to be like with Prabhupada all the time. But Prabhupada knew that he can do more. He can do so much service, much more. And so Prabhupada was emphasizing that Vani is more important than Vapu. The instructions of the spiritual master is more important than being physically present with him. We always wanted to enjoy the company of our guru. It's natural. But then when we were with our guru, then so what? What's next? So Prabhupada told his secretary, go and preach. Go and preach. And the secretary says, no, I won't. I want to be with you. And Prabhupada says, no, you go and preach. And the secretary says, what will I do in the mountains? So you chant. What if I don't have anything to eat? Then you eat meat. And then what's going to happen to my consciousness? Damn your consciousness. It was so heavy. So heavy. And then after some time, because he was always wanted to be with Prabhupada, after some time, he was with Prabhupada again. Like for 3 days. Then Prabhupada started to do dictation. Letter. And every other word, the secretary is making spelling wrong. So Prabhupada says, you cannot even write correct spelling. And that's why this devotee has another devotee to do the editing of what he's doing. Just to be with Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada says, no, you must go and preach. No, I won't. I want to be with you all the time. But it became so heavy, Prabhupada is like, doesn't want to accept any more of his personal seva. He wanted him to go and preach. So the devotee says, okay, I quit. He says, I quit. No, you cannot quit. I fire you. And actually this devotee, when he went and followed Srila Prabhupada's instruction, he printed so many books. Their yatra became number one even before Srila Prabhupada left the planet, that Srila Prabhupada wanted to see those devotees who are distributing books in his yatra. He became a GBC, he became a spiritual master later on, but somehow Maya attacked. But nevertheless, we should never go away if the spiritual master chastises us, because sometimes it is very difficult to accept this chastisement of the spiritual master. Actually, it's a question of your ego, how you can take it. One time, I was being asked by my spiritual master to call someone. I said, well, this is easy. I just have to call this person, and I think I'll do it later on. And then my spiritual master asked me again after like a few hours, but I forgot to do it. So the spiritual master says, did you call this person? I says, I cannot answer because I did not do it. And he said, you're the most laziest person I've ever seen in this world. Actually, the chastisement or the reprimand of the spiritual master is an act of love. He's showing he loves you. Otherwise, he will not say anything. He'll just let it go. Prabhupada has few disciples who are very careful in performing seva towards him, for him. And they may commit many mistakes, but he will not chastise them as much. He will correct them. He will correct them. And some of them actually left. You know, just like, you know, the story of, what do you call this? Man landing in the moon. So he doesn't have so much faith, because Prabhupada says they didn't go to the moon. And he doesn't have so much faith in Prabhupada's words that, you know, that this devotee left. We should have faith. Faith on Guru means having faith on Krishna. Krishna's representative sent to us so that we'll be able to get out of this material world. Now, if we are convinced that the spiritual master will be able to get us out of this material world, then we should have complete faith to whatever he says. Even if it hurts us. Even if it's painful. Truth sometimes is very painful. And we don't want the truth. We don't want the truth. So, the spiritual master cares for us. He wants to improve us. And he wants us to become a good devotee. If the spiritual master will not correct us, Prabhupada says that actually, who in this world would want to put attention to you? Sometimes children will act independently. I mean, because they're already grown up. Then the parents, they already said it once. They will not repeat it anymore. Because they know that, oh, they're acting accordingly to their own whim. So what can I do? But the guru will always be there to correct us. The spiritual master will always be there to direct us going to the right path. It's a thankless task. If we commit mistakes, he's always there to forgive us. Prabhupada never rejected anybody. Even if a person who fell into Maya, heavy Maya, and then he came back, Prabhupada will say, why did you do what you did? Of course, he will say these words, but the next day, he is just as normal and willing to accept you. We don't know the deep compassion and mercy of the spiritual master, just like Krishna. Krishna is equal to everyone. His punishment and reward is the same. Just like in the Kaliya Lila. Kaliya is a serpent. He's a snake. When the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, serpent, was praying to Lord Krishna, they were saying to Lord Krishna, we don't know what kind of pious activities our husband performed. Now he is having this body of a serpent. A serpent means he's always angry and very envious. And you touch his hooves with your lotus feet. How is that? You punish him by dancing on the top of his hooves. What kind of pious activities he performed in the past? What kind of pious credits that we perform in the past that we are being saved by our own spiritual master? We've been under the gutter. Gutter is a very dirty place. But under the gutter is more dirtier. Prabhupada can be compared just like the boar incarnation. Varaha. Varaha went to the deepest nether region to save the planet Earth. And Prabhupada did that. So, the Nagapandis were so astonished. They were so surprised. What kind of pious activities did he perform? They cannot think of anything. Actually, Kaliya was there because in that part of the south of Yamuna, it's a lake. I don't know if it's still around. Is it still around? Maybe not anymore because Kaliya went to Fiji, Prabhupada says. That is the only place where it is safe because he and his wives, they run away from Garuda. And that place, they have nectar. But it became poisonous. So Krishna's punishment and reward is the same. Same with his devotees. We've heard a story of Narad Muni cursing who? Nalakubar and Managriva? There were two highly intoxicated personalities because due to their upbringings being the sons of Kubera, the chief accountant, treasurer in the heavenly planets. So they have wealth, they have opulences, they have everything. Prabhupada says that usually those who have opulences and wealth, they're addicted to three things: intoxication, women, and gambling. So that when Narad Muni was passing by, they were taking bath in the Ganges River, Kailash Mountain, with some heavenly society girls. And because of their intoxicating tendencies, they're very so puffed up, they did not cover themselves. And Narad Muni was passing by. So Narad Muni cursed them to become two Arjuna trees, to teach them a lesson so that their pride will come down. Be just normal. That they were cursed to become trees. It's just a tree. It's like very, very austere position. Even in a cold like this, no one is giving a blanket. Or in a hot summer, intensified heat, no one is giving them umbrella. But he cursed these two brothers to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, so that when Krishna will perform his Damodar Leela, they will become liberated again and then go back to their original position. And they will learn their lessons. So they were witnessing Krishna's pastimes. And they saw Krishna face to face in the Damodar Leela. So Narad Muni cursed them, but at the same time, they got rewarded to be with Krishna. What kind of pious activities did they perform? We must hear from the bona fide guru, because his words, this. Ribo, somebody turn off. Prabhupada was once asked, now it's increasing. Prabhupada was asked, Ribu, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Prabhupada was once asked, Hare Krishna, it's because of the fog. Power is gone? Okay. So, yeah. Feeling so cold, like this mic. So, Prabhupada was once asked in London by a reporter. Prabhupada was asked, are you perfect? Are you perfect? It took some time for Prabhupada to reply. It took some time. He did not reply immediately. And so he replied, well, I guess it's true. Because whatever I said, Krishna is perfect. Whatever I said is what Krishna says, and Krishna is perfect. Right? But in the beginning, when we hear the words from the spiritual master, it is very painful. We revolt. We revolt. It appears that I don't agree with you. It appears like, no. I have a better idea than you. I don't know if you have experience like this. Because of our previous upbringings, our previous life, that there's still some residue of materialistic conception. The spiritual master is not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary person. And some unfortunate people, they think that we can correct the spiritual master. No, no, I have a better idea. Huh? I don't know if you have this kind of mentality. But sometimes this will creep in because of our impurities, our mentalities. We think that we know better than the spiritual master. The spiritual master is millions and millions and millions of miles away from material conception. He's very far. Sometimes if you ask the spiritual master or a pure devotee of the Lord, he will not say anything. He will be very silent. He's very deep. Very grave. And we want immediate reply. As soon as possible. Sometimes even Prabhupada will be giving classes. And there will be a question, but then he will not say any replies. He will not say anything. This is what you mean by grave. Grave means you don't know the mentality of that person. He's thinking of something else, not like us. Pure devotee of the Lord, he's grave. Many pictures of Srila Prabhupada is in the grave mood, not smiling. And there was one picture of Srila Prabhupada with his books, and his disciple asked, "Prabhupada, why you look so unhappy here? It seems to be that you look very sad here." Prabhupada says, "No, you don't know. This is my most happiest moment." But in the picture, I'm sure you've seen that picture also, Prabhupada with his books. He looks very grave. So, the spiritual master is like that. Sometimes he will correct us by being silent, because silent means it's more penetrating than words. If we're just silent here for like a few minutes, it'll be unbearable, isn't it? We cannot, we're probably going to just go stand up and walk away because it's unbearable. So Prabhupada, he would chastise sometimes his disciples without saying a word. Or sometimes he will be sarcastic. Sarcastic. Sarcastic means saying a little bit more than what it should be said. Just like, let's say, there's one devotee, he was a secretary of Srila Prabhupada also, and he's not very good in accounting. He was not very good in accounting. So, Prabhupada was there, the secretary was there, and then there's another devotee who is very good in accounting. And then the secretary showed Prabhupada the bookkeeping. And then Prabhupada says, "Oh, he's very good in bookkeeping. But actually the third person doesn't know that actually he's not so good in bookkeeping. But this is to improve the other devotee." So, this process of Krishna consciousness can be easily performed if we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. If somehow or other, whenever he will correct us, we should see it as his act of love for us. Ultimately, everything is controlled by Krishna. Prabhupada says, you can define Krishna in 5 words. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the supreme controller. 5 words. And the spiritual master, acting as a representative bona fide representative of Lord Krishna, somehow he knows how to correct us. He knows how to the spiritual master knows us how to be engaged like him. Actually, we should be like what you call an example is like an orchestra. We can be playing different instruments. Huh? Like in an orchestra, somebody's playing violin, somebody's playing drums, somebody's playing piano, or different instruments, but harmoniously they're playing together for the pleasure of the Lord. Similarly also, we should be just like trying to please the spiritual master by massaging his body, and we can be in different parts of the body, massaging different parts. We should not be like, Prabhupada gave an example, just like children, they want to massage the body of the father, but they were fighting at the same time. So they're trying to massage, but they were fighting. So actually, while massaging and fighting at the same time, they're giving harm to the body of the father. Prabhupada was once asked, "Are you ISKCON?" Prabhupada says, "No, I am a member of ISKCON." But actually, Prabhupada says, ISKCON is my body. So if we perform our activities according to our ability, and sometimes we may be corrected by our seniors. There are three kinds of gurus: Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Chetya Guru. And Diksha Guru is not there necessarily all the time with us. So most of the times it will be Shiksha Gurus or those who can instruct us to make advancement in our spiritual life. And if we get corrected, we should be thankful that, hey, somebody is really caring for me so that I can make advancement. Some other times, if you are not so humble, then you will curse that person. "Why are you correcting me? Who are you?" I know one Mataji here. She will correct devotees during the Guru Puja time. Because Guru Puja means we're worshipping the Guru. It is not time to do anything. It is not time even to talk about your service with another devotee. It's like when you chant japa, you just chant japa. Your main intention is to hear the sound vibration. You don't do anything else. So during Guru Puja, and if she sees someone who is not attentive to the Guru Puja, to Srila Prabhupada, then after the Guru Puja, she will reprimand this person saying, "Prabhuji, it's not good. You're talking while Guru Puja is going on." And we can do that. But it depends also on our position to, or relationship with the other devotee, if that devotee can take it or not. It may reverse. The reaction may be a reversal, that instead of the person would improve himself or herself, then that person will become rebellious. So it is very important that somehow we have to understand that if someone is trying to correct us or reprimand us or trying to guide us accordingly, that actually we should be very thankful for this devotee. And if we are doing things in a mode of ignorance and others are not correcting us, they become part of the mode of ignorance. If you see someone who is not acting properly or doing accordingly in their devotional service, and you just let it go, but you have a chance to tell that person that, Prabhuji, Mataji, I'm sorry. You may be more senior than me. You can be a junior and you can tell this. You may be more senior than me, but I would like to request that because I see that you are more superior than me, but things are not properly done by you. And we have to see that you are doing it properly because you're just like a good example for others. Even if you're in the junior position than that person who's in the mode of ignorance, it is still your duty to tell that person. And if you don't, then you'll become part of the... It could be an aparad. It could be an offense to the holy name, to the deities, to the Dham, to the Vaishnavas. So, the devotee accepts the reversal of his position in life as a benediction. Whatever happens to us, it doesn't matter what it is. We should see it as mercy. So that we will become more and more dedicated our lives for Krishna's service. Stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions? We can take one. You're all obedient, right? So there is no problem. Whatever the guru says, you follow. Any questions? Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Gadadhar Priya Prabhu. There is a mic there if you want so that they can hear it in your radio land. Yes.
Haribol. Now, I find it maybe not so easy, difficult, if it is a senior person to approach this person.
Yeah.
Because this person may not like it at all. It may happen like that, so it becomes like...
If a junior devotee approach?
Yes.
It depends on how it's been said. Because correcting someone means you're not in your false ego. If you correct someone, even if you're a senior and you're doing it because of false ego, out of envy to the other person, you will not get good result. We should, as much as possible, in a humble way, tell a senior devotee that, Prabhuji, I am very junior to you. I know that it may be an offense to tell you this, but I do care, and I wanted to see that you also follow the way it should be, because I read. Please forgive me for being adamant and being puffed up, but I have to tell you this, because I don't want to see it. I want to improve myself by following you. And if you're not following it, how can I improve myself? You're supposed to set the standard. And if the senior, not with any false ego, being humble, he will take it seriously. Whatever the junior will say. And it takes a lot of Krishna consciousness to be like this, both ways. The junior devotee and the senior devotee. Both. And if there is a good relationship, even a junior devotee can smash the face of the senior devotee. The senior devotee will say, yes, yes, more. Because there is a relationship. But if there is no relationship, the relationship will start, will begin. Because you care. We have to be like this.
Thank you.
Okay. Jai, so if you see anything wrong with me, tell me immediately, okay? Don't wait. After the class, not now. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai.
Itai Gaur Premanande!